Okay, our next speaker is Matthew Watt with the University of Minnesota, right? And he'll be talking, his title is Improving Minnesota's Water Quality with the Cash Cover Crops, and I'm not going to say those, Pennycress and Winter Camelina.
Hello, everyone. Like he said, my name is Matthew Ott. I am a master's student in the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics at the University of Minnesota. And I'd like to thank you for your interest in improving Minnesota's water quality with the cash cover crops, Philosophy arbens, and Camelina sativa. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency this year came out with a study that found that water bodies in southeast Minnesota are highly contaminated with nitrogen and phosphorus, which makes them unsuitable for fishing and swimming. The Minnesota River is one of the most polluted in the U.S. and contributes with the Mississippi to the hypoxic zone in the Gulf of Mexico. And cover crops have been shown to decrease this non-point source pollution. And we have missed opportunities for capturing nitrogen and phosphorus. As can be seen in the figure, the red represents opportunities for reducing nitrogen and phosphorus movement. And in this figure, with cover crops, there is a great potential to reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus non-point source pollution. In the south, cover cropping and double cropping is common. However, in the north, it's a challenge due to the fact that a species must be found that can survive a Minnesota winter and it has to fit into a tight growing season. So research agronomists such as McKibben, Pendleton, and Chan developed the method of relay cropping, which can be seen in the figure and in the photo. In the photo, soybeans are the primary crop. They were no-till drilled into the secondary crop, pennycress in this case, on April 24th of this year. And the pennycress was harvested over the top of the soybeans with a combine on June 29th of this year. Thus, two crops can be squeezed into the short Minnesota growing season. Non-leguminous cover crops such as oats and winter rye have proven to be effective in capturing nitrates. However, there are limitations to incorporating winter cereals in crop rotations because they cannot be grown to maturity in Minnesota without adversely affecting soybean yields. It can be seen that winter camelina has a higher potential to bring income to growers. So the question that remains then is how much nitrate and phosphorus can these oilseed crops, pennycress and camelina, capture relative to winter rye, the increasingly popular cover crop tillage radish, and fallow treatments. We have three experimental sites that span the state, and these should provide us a good estimate of an evaluation for how the cover crops perform in different hardiness zones. Today I only focus on the data from Morris and specifically the nitrate data from Morris for the sake of time and simplicity, but I've looked at the other data and I can assure you that Morris is representative. Our experimental design was a randomized complete block, and this is an idealized image of one replicate. The treatment is across the top, and planting method is right below. So you can see the oilseed crops were relay planted, and the rest of the treatments were conventionally planted. I have highlighted tillage radish in light green here because it winter kills. So that point will become important later. In order to track nitrogen movement throughout this agricultural system, we have done biomass sampling as well as soil sampling. For the biomass sampling, I will focus on the data from the late October 2014 and the mid-April 2015 sampling dates. So the y-axis in the graph is nitrogen in kilograms per hectare, and taller bars in this case are better for reducing nitrogen pollution. The camelina did not differ significantly from the radish in biomass nitrogen content. However, the pennycress did, and this may be due to the fact or the idea that pennycress is slower to establish in the fall, but we will further investigate this. The story changed for pennycress in the spring, however, where it sequestered more nitrogen than both the camelina and the rye treatments. And the tillage radish is not included here because of the fact that it winter kills. We had 5 periods of soil sampling, and for sake of comparison to the biomass data, I will focus on the late October 2014 and mid-April 2015 soil sampling dates. The y-axis here is nitrate concentration, or nitrate in kilograms per hectare. And so smaller bars in this case are better for nitrogen pollution, for reducing nitrogen pollution. I'd like to highlight that soil cores from camelina and radish plots had less nitrate than the fallow treatment through October 2014. However, and this agrees with our biomass data. However, the winter rye, it's surprising, has a mean as high as it is compared to considering the biomass data. It's important to note, though, that both the winter rye and the pennycress are very close to the mean for the camelina, and more observations in the next year may provide more conclusive results. For the April sampling date, soil sampling date, I'd first like to point out that the tillage radish, the soil core from the tillage radish plots had more nitrate than the other cover crop treatments. And the soil cores from the pennycress and camelina plots did not differ significantly from the rye soil cores in nitrogen content. And this may be an indicator that pennycress and camelina capture similar amounts of nitrogen as winter rye. For our lysimeter data and methods, I will describe our process for going about this. We had lysimeters installed in 2 replications in our Morris location, and after a precipitation event, a vacuum was placed on each lysimeter, and this would draw in groundwater through a ceramic tip in the end of the lysimeter, and 24 hours later, a water sample could be taken from the lysimeter. And I'd like to preface our lysimeter data by stating we had some technical problems, unfortunately, because occasionally the lysimeters were not airtight, and thus a vacuum could not draw the water sample. So we have some missing values, unfortunately. And so no statistical inferences can be made yet from this data. There is maybe an interesting pattern, though, to note with the rye and the camelina compared to the tilled plot. But again, no statistical inferences can be made. It is worth noting that the outliers in the pennycress treatment consistently come from one replication, and the biomass data that I showed earlier for the pennycress treatment does not agree with this lysimeter data. And we have learned from these problems, and in the next year we have more lysimeters installed in more sites in more replications. My conclusions are that there is evidence to suggest that camelina and pennycress capture similar levels of nitrates as winter rye, which is encouraging because they provide more economic incentive to growers and thus may actually be adopted in Minnesota. And also, since they're oil can be made into biodiesel. They have the potential to mitigate climate change without competing with the food supply. I'd like to thank my co-advisors, Frank Frisella and Don Wise, Carrie Eberly, the postdoc who has helped me a lot on this project, my committee members, Jim Anderson, Russ Gesch, and David Marks, and all of my colleagues, as well as the Minnesota Department of Agriculture, who has provided the funding for this research. And thank you for your interest in this topic. And with that, I can open it up for questions. Yeah.
How deep were the samples that you were showing us the nitrogen content?
We took soil cores of 0 to 30 and 30 to 60 centimeters. That data was from our 0 to 30 centimeter soil cores. The 30 to 60 centimeter soil core data closely had the same trends as the 0 to 30. So the data is similar for both. Any other questions? Yes.
What was your Camelina variety and when did you plant it?
The Camelina variety was Joelle, and it was planted, Russ might be able to, or Carrie might be able to help me on the exact date, but early September. Early to mid-September? Okay, depending on the site, sure. Any other questions? It was actually soybeans. That photo was actually from our experiment.
Any more? We've got a question for Lowell. We didn't have time for his. If not, we'll go on to our final speaker. Thank you.
Thank you.